Today we're finishing our Big Faith series in John chapter 11, page 610 at the Bibles, the church Bibles. Every faith story involves challenging circumstances viewed as pivotal life events. Some of you are believers today because of a pivotal circumstance. Some of you are part of South Bay Bible Church today because of a challenging circumstance that happened in your life. Something happened that re-engaged you with the church. Something happened to re-engage you with God. Maybe it was positive, the birth of a child. That impacts people a lot. Maybe it was falling in love with a person of faith, and then you came to faith. Maybe it was answered prayer. You prayed for something. You had such a little tiny amount of faith. You weren't even sure really it was going to happen, but it did, and it changed everything. Maybe it was a good thing that just happened and melted all the disbelief. It just eased the cynicism that you had in your heart. But listen, that's not usually the case. Times of peace and prosperity, times of health, usually do not create a sense of need. Positive experiences usually lure us into thinking that we're just fine without God, or perhaps even worse than that, that we are God. Faith is generally developed in peaceful, not developed in peaceful waters. Most of the time, the event, the circumstances that impact our life the most are negative, really challenging, difficult things that happen. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors, in The Problem of Pain, that's the book that he wrote, he said this. He said, God whispers in our pleasures. God speaks to our conscience. But God shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And that's so true, isn't it? Otherwise, we would be tempted to think it's just some sort of Christian attempt to get God out of a bind or to explain something away that we didn't really anticipate. But the Bible teaches us and illustrates how challenging circumstances test, strengthen, and ultimately sometimes even launch faith. James, the brother of Jesus, comes right out and says it, boldly says it. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be fully mature and complete, not lacking anything. Let's look at that one more time here. The testing, the trials, right? The trials work through trials of many kinds that you may have, testing of your faith, right? And then that produces perseverance, and the perseverance ultimately makes you mature and complete. You may not even be saved on this side of the trial, but the trials go to testing, make perseverance, and then make you mature and complete. Look at it, a diagram just a little bit differently, right? Look at this, trial, and then that's the testing of our faith. That's kind of, we get tested and purified through that. And then we develop perseverance through that testing. And ultimately, our faith is stronger. I want us to look at a very famous story from the Apostle John and see exactly how this thing played out in Scripture. It's a story most of you might be familiar with. Hopefully you've heard this story before. It's a famous story. It's the story of Lazarus. Look with me. In John chapter 11, verse 1, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. There's a drama taking place. There's a conflict here. There's some tension. Jesus, come quickly. The one you love is sick. This whole thing is starting to play out. When Jesus heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. God glorified through sickness? Really? I want you to take that and log that away. We're going to talk about that in a few moments. In verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. How much Jesus loved a particular person, is only mentioned a handful of times in the Bible. These are three of the people. Just a couple of times someone specifically is mentioned. Yet when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he rushed right out, right? No. He stayed where he was 2 more days. He did exactly what we would not expect him to do. Then Jesus said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you. And yet you're going back there? Are you crazy? That's insane. The disciples who could have edited out these stories, I mean, they wrote them down. John is recounting this story. He was probably one of the ones saying it. He could have just left that detail out. They were made to look like complete cowards, but they were normal people. And I think it's one of the points here. They weren't worried about Jesus. They were worried about themselves. We might be killed if we go back in all of this. But Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk by day will not stumble, for he sees by the world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. What? Huh? Is this really a mini trust me lesson? Is that what this is really about? After he said this, he went on to tell them, listen, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. We don't need to go. Everybody knew back then, if you sleep, you're getting your strength back, you're going to recover. We don't really need to go to Judea. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now I'm really confused. You love him and you let him die? Now we're going back? What's the point of all of this? He told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. What about Lazarus' sake, Jesus? You're glad he's dead? This is so confusing. I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. In God's economy, circumstances, pain, tragedy, they're all legitimate tools that he uses to build our faith, even the extreme ones, as much as death. They arrive home, they arrive back in Bethany, and Lazarus' sister meets the Lord. Lazarus' sister meets Jesus and the apostles. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had just been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. She's halfway there, right? Jesus has God's ear. I mean, he can still get something done here. But Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, of course he will. No, just kidding. He said, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She's not thinking right now. But Jesus said to her, and I love this, I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. This is, Martha, listen to me. This is bigger than just having God's ear. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? It's a good question for us today. Do you believe this? All this pain, there's probably pain in your life. All this drama, there's probably drama in your life, is about your faith. Jesus is taking it up a notch. Yes, Lord, Martha told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world and now is here. Wow. He asked to be taken to the grave. Jesus said, show me where Lazarus is. And look, he wept. The shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Then the Jews that were there helping comfort Mary and Martha and the family, see how much Jesus loved him? There's so much conflict. There's so much love, so much death, so much compassion, and so much pain. But in the middle of all of that, Jesus performed a miracle by raising Lazarus from the dead. And what was the response of the people? Look at this. It's so important. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Martha to comfort her and had seen what Jesus did, look at this, put their faith in him. The thing you can't miss about this story is the relationship between this tumultuous event, this horrible thing that happened, and the great, big, giant faith that took place in many people's hearts. It's not a connection we have to make up. Jesus and John make sure that we can't miss it. Jesus didn't just leverage a challenging circumstance to build faith. He went out of his way to create one. And then that tells us something about the value Jesus places on faith in himself. We don't have to sort out the cause of it. We don't have to allow ourselves to even question. Either way, challenging circumstances introduce God into the conversation and into our lives. They make us reconsider what we've put our faith in. They make us reconsider who is in control. They create a healthy sense of dependence on the holy God of all creation. And what is our response? Our response makes all the difference. Do you know what makes the biggest difference in our responses? The people around us. It depends on how you frame it. People who lose faith usually have no one there to help them properly interpret and process the circumstances. The right response leaves us open to receive God's grace. But listen carefully. The wrong response forces us to face life without God. Philip Yancey, another author I really love, says, the only thing worse than disappointment with God is disappointment without God. The story of Lazarus assures us God is not absent in the upheavals. God is not silent. God is not absent. God is very present in every circumstance. He's building big faith in you. But as your pastor, I want to give you a warning today. Look at this carefully. Look. When you interpret your feelings and God says, when you interpret your feelings and say God is doing something to you, you tend to lose faith. I do a lot of counseling and I see this over and over and over. When we become a victim and we feel like God is doing something to us, we usually lose faith. But listen, when you interpret your feelings and say God is doing something in you, you tend to get bigger faith. I have a suggestion for you today. Ask for God to show you his hand. When you spot God in that challenging circumstance, something happens to your faith. It gets much bigger. Warren Wiersbe, who is my favorite author, said, instead of asking God to get you out of the storm, ask God what you can get out of it. As we wrap up this series today, God is most honored by our faith, our confidence in him. The point of trust is where things were broken. The point of trust is where they will be put back together if we will just believe and have that faith. For the rest of your life, these five things intersect with your faith. Stay in an environment of practical teaching. That is one of the most important things you can do. Be in a place that will help you discern and understand God's word properly. Be intentional and available relationally in wholesome relationships with other believers. You're probably going to get hurt, and we talked about the dynamics of that sometimes, but listen, overall, it's going to feed you and help you through all of these things. Stay involved in spiritual disciplines. Pray. Read your Bible every single day and be about giving. The people with the biggest faith that I've ever met in my life were always the biggest givers. Always prayed. Always read their Bible. Not just once in a while. Not just when they felt like it, but every single day. And step out and serve in a servant ministry. Find a place to serve it. Get your eyes off of yourself, and it puts them on God and other people. And that will help you so much. And finally, look for God in the challenging circumstances of life. Let me tell you, that'll make a huge difference in your life. If you're thinking God is doing something to you, you'll probably blow it somewhere. But if you think God is doing something in you, it'll make a tremendous difference. I want to close in prayer by praying for you. And then we're going to have a special song in just a moment. And as we begin to process that, maybe you are going through a challenging circumstance. Maybe you're dealing with temptation on some level. You're really struggling in some way with that. Maybe somebody passed away. We have a dear, dear friend of ours from our church in Florida that her son died in a tragic accident, a parachute accident, 2 weeks ago. Today, when I'm preaching this, 2 weeks ago, Saturday, that was just horrific. And maybe she'll watch this, maybe, but listen, there could be a diagnosis, there could be a job loss. You know, there's all kinds of things going on in our world today. And if you think God is doing something to you, you're probably going to struggle in your faith. If you think God is doing something in you, say, God, I trust you. I believe you, God. Increase my faith. What can I squeeze out of this? Let me see your hand. Your faith is going to grow through that. I want to pray for you. And listen, if you have special needs, if you go to the links page, you can send a message to the pastor. I'll be praying for you. I'll join with you specifically on those issues. So let's pray. God, we just come before you today in Jesus' name. And Lord, our whole prayer, this whole season has been build our faith. We don't want to just have mustard seed sized faith. We don't just want to have small faith, Lord. Our goal is to have big, huge, gigantic faith. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray today that God, if people are going through challenging circumstances, and Lord, hundreds of people literally are watching our services online each week, hundreds, far more than come here in person. And so there's people hurting out there. There's people going through things that we can't even fathom. I pray for Laura, who lost her precious son, Justin. God, I pray for others that, Lord, as we counsel and we hear what they're going through, and Lord, I'm never going to share those publicly or privately or any other way. God, we just lift those up, and you know who they are. God, I know people are teetering on the verge of losing their job. And Lord, they don't know how they're going to make it. Unemployment won't even come close to paying their bills because it's such a small portion, God, of what they make. Father, we come before you, and we know that you're not doing this to us. This is bigger than that. You want to work something in us. So God, by your Spirit, breathe faith into each life today. Open our lives to trust you and lean into you during these times. Open our minds, open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears. Holy Spirit, speak deeply into every single heart in Jesus' name. Father, we love you. We praise you. Most of all, God, today, we trust you. We believe you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Lord, I need